Good morning, everyone. This morning, I really feel like God has put this word in my heart that is an impartation, not just a message. And it started last Sunday when Ruth gave us that word from Psalm 23, and she shared about being seated, how the Lord prepares a table for us before our enemies. And that hit me like I had never heard it before. And he began to take me on a journey this week. And I know it's only a week right now, but I believe it started long before that. But it impacted me this week. And I'm going to share that with you and why I feel it is a word for us right now. It is what we're hearing. It's in line. The worship lined up this morning. The words lined up this morning. It's a God time. So I'm going to start. My title is, we have a seat at the table. So why are we standing at the door? And why do I think that? Well, it starts with me first. I want to tell you that God has really been dealing with me on this issue, not just this week, for a long time. But I believe he's saying, now's the time. It's a make or break time for the church. It's a make or break time for me. Am I really going to step into what he's called me to do in this season? Or am I going to stand at the door and observe what's going on? We don't want to be the observers this morning. He hasn't called us here at Urban Mission to be observers. He hasn't called us to stand on the sidelines. He's called us to be in the battle. And how do we do that? How are we in the battle? You know, I want to talk about some things he had me thinking about this week. And you know, in corporate America, we talk about being seated at the table. And what does that mean? What does it mean in the business world or in the world of sales especially? You know, when you get a seat at the company's table to sell them your product, it's face-to-face time, and that's when you can really make a sale. Phones. The phone call isn't as effective. I know when a vendor comes to my company and sits down with me and goes through the process, I'm more likely to hire them than I am someone who hasn't sat with me and shown me the process, given me their time, invested in me, in our company. So here's the corporate definition of being seated at the table. It's often reserved for those who are considered to have both the influence and power to make decisions and effect change. The table has become a symbol of power, negotiation, and credibility through which one can forward their career, generate a sale, or plot a course for success. In other words, when one is provided a seat at the table, it represents an opportunity to be heard and to make a difference. We have an invitation today to sit at the table of the Lord. And what does that mean for us? It means exactly what it says here. An opportunity to be heard and an opportunity to make a difference. Having the ability to understand God's strategy and his plan, and then having the courage and the ability to implement it. Sorry, I'm shouting. I don't know why. The Spirit of the Lord is on me this morning. You know, I could tell you my experience, in the corporate America, coming up in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, I not only had a fight for my voice to be heard, but there was a gender war going on that was greater than we see today. Women really didn't have a place at the table. I remember going to, my boss was very open to that, I have to say. And he invited me to go to this management conference, and I was the only woman in a room of 26 people. It was really difficult. There was a battle to be fought. I had to sacrifice. I had to learn. I had to invest time. I had to do better than the next person to get to where I am today, where I thought I wanted to be. But you know, being on the inside, being seated at the table comes with responsibility. And that's a difficult word, especially when we're talking about what we're called to do in the kingdom. Are we willing to take the responsibility? And oftentimes I think that's what keeps us standing at the door, because we know if we sit down at that table, we're going to get an assignment that requires us to take responsibility. But when you're seated at that table in corporate America, you get to network, you get to meet people, you get to move up. You are empowered. But then you have to work really hard to keep that place. You don't just get it and you have it forever like we do in the kingdom. We don't have to work for our seat. We just have to receive our seat. We have to accept our seat. But in corporate America, we have to fight for our seat. Then we have to fight to maintain our seat. And once we're there, we think we've arrived. But that's where all the work begins, right? But yet we're in the know. We know what's going on. Let's talk about the family table. What happens at the family table? I remember when we were kids, we were 26 cousins, first cousins on my mother's side, and we were all in the same age group. So when we all got to my grandmother's house, there were several kids' tables to house us all, and then there was the adult table. And let me tell you, it was like we waited and coveted that day when we could sit at the adult table. Because we thought, what are we missing? Why are we relegated to the child's table? But let me tell you, once you got there, what'd you think? Oh, I'll sit at the kids' table this meal. Because, you know, it was just a lot of responsibility that came with being at the adult table. But in the family home, in our family home, when we gather around the table, it's where we bond. It's how we get to know what's happening in our family. It's where those top secret recipes are shared, right? And even family history. And sometimes I actually mourn the fact that I didn't get to sit at my parents' table a lot longer when I was ready to know the family history. I missed out on a lot. So I encourage you, sit at the family table. Talk about family history, because that's so important to your growth and who you are. And what about the wedding table? When you're planning your wedding, I think the most anxiety is around who sits where. And then there's this whole thing of, you know, status. If you're at the bride's table or the bride's family's table or the groom's family's table, and oh my gosh, the anxiety. I remember when my daughter was getting married, it was a very difficult thing. Thank God my son and my daughter-in-law didn't have seating arrangements. Thank you so much. We all had equal seating at their wedding, which was awesome. And that's what we have at the table of the Lord, equal seating. And there's never not enough room. And it doesn't matter where you're seated. You're still seated with Jesus. And you know, the Lord had me in picturing, envisioning this scripture this week. So we're going to start here with what Ruth started this all with last week. Psalm 23:5. I put it up in several versions. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Message. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. The Passion. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. You know, when we sit at our dinner table or the Thanksgiving feast table or the Christmas table or the barbecue table, there comes a limit to what we can partake in, right? Often we overdo it, but there becomes a limit where we have to say enough is enough. But we read here in this scripture that when we sit at the Lord's table, we can receive and receive and receive. It is never too much. And he had me in picturing this, envisioning this week in my mind, every time I was in a difficult situation, he wanted me to remember that I can seat myself right now at that table. And it was a table for two. It's a table for two, me and him. So I have that invitation. That seat is always available to me to sit down with him, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing. But how do I get there if I haven't practiced it? If I've been standing at the door for the last 53 years, how do I get seated at that table at the moment I need to be? Because the chair is always available. People, I'm not even on my notes. So let's move on, because this is the next really key scripture, because it's all about being seated. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. The Passion. He raises us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascend with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Why wouldn't we want to take our seat? He's already purchased that seat for us today, as we read here, as we sang this morning. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand. Undefeated, every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. Where do we get that confidence? You know, the invitation, we say, yes, Jesus. That's the invitation. But are we coming in and receiving the fullness? I am seated in the heavenly place. We sang this morning. Undefeated by the power of your name. I am seated in the heavenly place. Undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. You know, I was thinking as we were singing this morning, how we are living in a time where good is evil and evil is good. What a scary time we are living in. But we, the church, live in this place that we are singing about today. There is no one that our king has not defeated. And we live under that power. In that power. Ruth spoke about the power of David. Where did David get that power from? Where did David get that revelation from? He was a shepherd boy. He had no distraction other than his sheep as he sat in the pastures and sat at the foot of Jesus at his table. Jesus raised him up. And he knew the power that he had in him. And we need to know that the power that we have in us. Give me a minute to catch up here. If you notice, the word here is seated. Not to be seated, not seat yourself. It's already seated. We are seated. It is true right now. You're seated in the kingdom. You're seated at the right hand of the Father, next to Jesus. No matter what is happening around us, no matter what is going on in the world, what is going on in your life, what is true right now is you have a seat at the table today in the kingdom. What happens when we sit down at the table? So this week, I felt like God was trying to readjust me. You know, when he imparts something to you that sits in your spirit, then your life somehow has to change. And I felt like he was trying to readjust me this week. And in that, I was intentional about sitting at his table. What does that mean? What does it mean to sit at his table? Well, I actually was envisioning sitting at a table with Jesus. I felt like I needed to start there. I felt like I needed to just see Jesus and envision myself with him. And so every night this week, I had to make a choice. I had to make a decision to put aside some things and not do some things. I had to sacrifice a few things to make time to do this. And I think it's where we're all kind of missing the mark. And I shouldn't say all. Maybe it's just me. I'm just sharing what's happening for me, right? So I'm missing the mark by being way too busy. And I think because the things that are on my agenda are things that will make me better, make my family better, make my situation at home better, make my work situation better, improve people's lives. Like, I think all that is so important. I think it's so important, and it is something God put in my heart to do, so I should fill my day with all of that. But God really started to speak to me about that, and he started to speak to me about taking time to sit down with him. And when I did, I started to receive revelation every day. Revelation every day. Not only revelation for that day where I was encountering people at a different level and things were happening that I knew would not have happened had I not taken that time in the morning. And then every evening I was doing the same thing. And you know what he was speaking to me about in the evening? Which is a little upsetting, but he was showing me things I missed. Opportunities he gave me that I missed. Not to discourage me, but to show me how much more there is available to me, how much more I can make an impact. But I will tell you that what he did release to me was peace, joy, strategies, solutions. And that brought me to the Last Supper, the Passover table. You know, prior to the Last Supper the disciples had with Jesus, it wasn't considered, they didn't have the bread and the wine, that the communion elements, that began that night. And who did Jesus have there? Jesus had his 12 best friends, let's say, right? His 12 closest companions. There were many others. But his 12 closest companions were invited to his table. Is everyone invited to your dinner table every night? No, the people you are closest to are invited to your table. So I want to say to you that the more time we spend, we see the impact that, let's say, Sean Foyt is having throughout our nation. And I'm not saying we're all called to what Sean Foyt is doing. But do you think Sean Foyt is doing this without having been seated at that table? Without having been seated at that table daily? For years. This doesn't happen overnight. This is a developing of time. And here we see the disciples that have been with Jesus for 3 solid years now sitting at the table the last time Jesus would share a meal with them. And what does he do at that table? Let's read it. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. I love that word. Not that I want to lay down at the table, but it means they rested together. No one was, although there was some, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see there was some dissension among the disciples, as there always was. But God's intent is when we come to the table that we rest in his presence. He doesn't want us working when we get there. He doesn't want us striving for his attention. We don't need to. We have it. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat. This is so blurry here. Sorry, let me find it in my notes. I can't even see it. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as he has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. So why I've read this is because we will see here, what did Jesus do? He released to his closest friends, his disciples, the 12, the strategy that they would need moving forward to change the world. And what was the strategy? Do this in remembrance of me. Drink the wine and eat the bread to remember what I'm about to do for you, because that is going to release the resurrection power into the earth, which we all have access to when we're sitting at the table. That power comes from being in his presence. That power comes when we sit at the table. And I'll tell you that the degree with which you move in resurrection power is very aligned with the time you spend at the table. And this is what the Lord has been speaking to me all week. I'm praying for certain things in my life that I want to see happen. I'm asking him, why not this? Why hasn't this happened? Why am I here? Why am I doing that? You want to know? Sit at the table. Stop standing at the door. It's so much easier at the door. It's so much easier to watch other people do it. Sorry. This is how he's talking to me all week. Sorry. We, the body of Christ, need to wake up. Now is the time. The alarms are sounding. I know I've said it before, but it's all the Lord is giving me. Let's look at the dinner party. This is even more upsetting to me when I read it. Because, you know, we have the option. He gives us a choice, a choice, a choice. Do we want to stand at the door? Do we want to sit at the table? Do we not even want to show up? Luke 14 in the Message version, starting at 17. For there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to the invited guests saying, come on in, the food's on the table. Who are the invited guests? That's us. The invited guests in this are the people of God. It's the people of God. It's kingdom people. Then they all began to beg off one after another, making excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of property. I need to look it over. Send my regrets. Another said, I just brought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. I mean, the excuses were so pathetic. And yet another said, I just got married and need to get home to my wife. The servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on and bring them here. The servant reported back, Master, I did what you commanded and there's still room. The master said, then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of these originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party. This, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, just as these people that were invited, the invited people in this are the people of God, and they were invited to a dinner party. I read about this, the commentary, and what they would do back in the day is they would tell you, oh, I'm having a party. Can you come? And then they would prepare and tell you when everything was ready. So when they were like, everything's ready, come, everybody started making excuses. So, you know, the Lord's saying, your excuses are pathetic, Sue. They're pathetic. I bought a team of oxen and I need to go look at them. Think about it. I went to ShopRite and I bought my groceries for the week. I need to go home and check them out. My excuses for not sitting at the table and giving the Lord my full attention are pathetic, just like they were here. And you know what? If I decide that my groceries are more important or my oxen are more important, then he's going to go find someone else to do what it is that he's called me to do, because it will be accomplished. It will be accomplished, whether it be through me or someone else. They could have sat at the table with the Lord, but they chose other things that were more important. My desire is to choose the greater thing. This scripture actually talks about how the Jews rejected Jesus, but the Lord was showing me in this what he was trying to teach me about sitting at the table. when we are seated at the table next to Jesus in the heavenlies, we become different. We're not the same people anymore. We are empowered. We receive strength. We are encouraged. We are patient. We have solutions and so much more. At this critical time in our nation, is more important than ever not to be standing at the door, but to be seated at the table. I would say if we're not seated at the table at this time, we're not even going to know where the table is soon. It is so important with everything that is being shouted at us from every direction, where good is being called evil and evil is being called good. We are in the war of a lifetime. It is a spiritual war, and we have to be aligned properly with the Lord. I've had a couple different experiences over the past couple of weeks, and they seem to tie into what I'm talking about today, so I'm going to quickly share what they were. So I was in prayer one night, and I saw leaders of the state handing out what looked to me at first a telescope, a small handheld telescope, but when I looked it up, it was called a spy glass, and I thought that was really significant. When you received the spy glass, you were elevated up above the land, and you were able to spy out things happening across the land and in your territory. And when you saw the enemy moving, you were able to sound an alarm. And when you sound an alarm, the body of Christ banded together, and through strategic prayer and declarations, what the enemy had intended to do never happened. And I feel like that's a call for urban mission for our city here. And it's something we're going to have to say, yes, I'm in, or no, I'm not. The spyglass was not handed to everyone. It was handed to those who were willing to take a stand, to stand on the wall, to be one that would protect our city, our state. And then I had another, we were in a corporate worship a few weeks back up in Basking Ridge, and I just saw angels entering the room. And they were coming alongside individuals, and they had these heavy backpacks on their backs. And I felt like this was for all of us, the body of Christ. And in those backpacks were assignments. They were handing out assignments. And it wasn't a life assignment. The Lord told me it was a daily assignment. It was a short term, was what I heard, a short term assignment. In other words, the Lord has assignments for us in this season. And if we're seated at his table and hearing what he has to say, he is releasing those assignments to you. Sometimes they're fun. Sometimes they're hard. But if they're God assignments and we're seated at the table, they're going to be fruitful assignments. Jesus is the great reverser of our priorities and our hierarchies, you know? I think, oh, I'm going to be doing this, this, and this this week, and by Saturday, it'll be done. And then God shows up, and certain things happen, and things get all messed up, but certain things get accomplished that you never thought would. So expect the Lord to come in and shift your priorities. Expect that to happen, because his priorities are not our priorities. He has greater ones. You know, our quest for greatness here in the world just leads to anxiety, suspicion, loneliness, hatred, devastation. When we're on a quest to be great, look at the people that have like just destroyed their families in a quest to have more money, to have more power. It always leads to devastation. There's always fear involved. What if I'm left out? What if I don't get to sit at the table with the popular people, right down to the lunchroom? Boy, that's kind of been blown up now with virtual learning. We don't have to worry about that. But there's so much fear around being accepted. There's so much anxiety and stress. That's how the enemy would like us, running around chasing each other, hating each other. But we belong in God's kingdom, and it is a kingdom that is of abundance. There is no scarcity. We're all welcome. We're all loved. We're all cherished. We're already seated at the table. And you know, the currency in God's kingdom, our entrance is humility, not arrogance, generosity, not greediness, and hospitality, not fear, loving one another. We sang this morning, love casts out all fear. We don't need to have that fear. We need to be standing in his love. We have to really face it. When we choose to sit at God's table, we are actively protesting what the culture would say to us. We are no longer aligning with the culture of today, and we will have pushback. It means we're going to live in a tension between, am I going to follow the crowd and follow the culture, or am I going to stand firm on what Jesus has imparted to me as I'm sitting at the table? You know, I don't see a way to be able to do that without spending time at his table. I don't see how we would even be able to do it. It's not easy. It's a choice. It's a choice to the heart. You know, Jesus didn't call us to a life of relaxation and, you know, everything's going to be great all along. No, he called us into a battle for his kingdom. He was in that battle too. We're taking part in that same battle that he was. We sang about kingdom authority this morning. Where does that kingdom authority come from? Comes from the same place. It all comes back to the same thing, being in his presence, being in his presence. But not just being in his presence here on Sunday morning, it's being in his presence, intentionally being in his presence, spending time with him. So I asked Pastor Dave if we could do communion this morning because I thought it would be a good thing to do. Everybody has them? Oh, wow. So if you're watching online and you want to just grab on to some elements, some juice and crackers or bread, that'd be awesome. And I want to do something a little different this morning. I think that we're going to use our imaginations a bit. And, you know, when we were teaching on the prophetic here, we were teaching about hearing from God and how your imagination, God created it. You know, the enemy has overtaken it, but God created it. So we want to just close our eyes this morning and just picture ourselves at a table for two with Jesus as we take our communion elements. We need to get into the habit of sitting at Jesus' table every day. And I'll suggest doing what I'm doing because I'm going to continue doing it. And that is just saying, Lord, I'm coming here this morning and I'm sitting at the table with you today. I'm turning my affection on you, my eyes on you, my heart to you. And, you know, I found that I had to stop reading my Bible on my phone. And I had to start reading my Bible again. Because it's so easy. The enemy has so many distractions all around us. You're on your Bible on your phone, and you get a text message, an email from work, then you're hopping onto that, and before you know it, an hour has passed, and you haven't even read a scripture. You haven't even really sat in his presence. So I'm going to challenge you to just put all that stuff down. Electronics are good. I love it. I love that I could be anywhere and pull up my Bible and have a scripture for whatever's happening. I love it. But there's a time when we have to just put those things down and really, you know, I spent a season recently just not being on social media. And let me tell you something. My spirit was at peace. Yeah, I didn't know a lot of things that were happening, but okay. It was okay for a season. I'm not saying you need to do it forever, but it's okay for a season. Maybe limiting it is really important. So, I mean, we should be spending as much more time at the table with Jesus than we are at the Facebook table or the Instagram table. Sorry for those of you who. Okay, so let's close our eyes and just get into God's presence this morning. Lord, we come to your table this morning, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you gave your body. Your body was broken for us today, O God, for our healing as we heard this morning, Lord, that there is healing at your table today, O God, that there's healing of our mind, our body, our spirit, our emotions. It's all there. And we receive it this morning, Lord. We receive that healing that you've already purchased for us, oh God. We receive healing for our families, for our churches, for our states, cities, nation, Lord, for the world today. Lord, we receive that healing because you already paid the price. Your scripture tells us that you already paid the price. We thank you, Lord, as we partake of your body. And Lord, this morning we just celebrate the power in your blood, oh God. We celebrate that power today, oh God, and we come to your table this morning to receive more of your power, oh God, that resurrection power, that you paid the price, that you let your blood spill for us to have that power today, oh God. You gave your life, Jesus, for us, so that we can walk in power and authority in the earth. And this morning we receive that in your name. We thank you, Lord. So Lord, we just thank you this morning for how amazing you are, God. There's such simple truths, but we complicate them so much. And we just declare today over our minds, over our spirits, that we will sit at your table. We will discipline ourselves to sit at your table and eat of your presence, of all that you have to offer us, the great banquet that you set before us in front of our enemies, O God. Lord, we thank you that we could run to your table when our enemies surround us, and you will give us what we need in that season. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the revelation you're releasing to us. We thank you for the power that you are giving us, the encouragement, the strength, the courage, Lord Jesus, to do what you've called us to do in this city, in this season. We thank you, Father, that you are so faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you have set us up for success. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.